Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, welcome to today's show. You're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on Channel Q.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another show. I mean, we're kind of killing it this week, even though it's been a little rough. I have to say that, but today it feels good, you know, refreshing, everything you need. We're very excited.
And when we say rough, it's because it's been rough in the world. So you can rely on us, of course, for the information. We want to have real conversations around these topics, but we always want to entertain. So we got some fun as well. And coming up on the show, we've got Jeffrey Masters, who's joining the Channel Q fam with his podcast, LGBTQNA. So we'll be talking to him more about his big Pride Month with us later in the show.
Very excited.
How accurate are the super accurate COVID-19 tests? We have Dr. Michael joining us for that. He's an infectious diseases expert, and we'll be diving into that topic in a bit as well. But how are you doing, Ryan?
Thank you for asking, actually. I think with everything happening in the world and the news that we're about to start talking about, everything can be very triggering. And I know we chose this job. I'm happy that we have this platform to be able to talk about things. But when you're in the midst of everything, there's really no time to allow yourself that space to feel the emotion. So for me, I am okay, but I most definitely scheduled a therapist appointment because I needed that, and I knew I needed that, and I felt it, and I'm happy to kind of get everything out because it is difficult just watching everything and then having to talk about it, and I'm just taking one day at a time and trying to figure it all out, but I'm just happy that we get to do this because it is important, even though it can be difficult to rehash everything and watch everything. So,
I hear you. I mean, Ryan saw me cry earlier today. It happens. There are definitely tears, but we are feeling good as we start the show right now. Let's get into what's trending this hour. This was crazy what President Donald Trump did today. He tweeted, "It will be a big day for social media and fairness." He signed an executive order to defend free speech from powerful social media companies by limiting their legal protections from liability. And this comes 2 days after Twitter applied this fact-checking label to two of his inaccurate tweets about mail-in ballots.
So he's throwing a temper tantrum. That's what he's doing.
Seems
right
like
now.
It. Well, the law as it currently stands, you might not know this, but it lets companies like Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter moderate content on their services as they see fit. I mean, you probably know this if you've seen how they've dealt with situations like this, but it actually protects them from lawsuits over content shared on the platforms. But according to Variety, they said that they're even unsure whether Trump knows that private companies like Twitter and Facebook are not subject to regulation under the Constitution's First Amendment free speech protections. So we'll see how long he could actually keep this executive order. Like, I know he signed it, but the question is, will it be able to be actually implemented?
I don't think it's going to be implemented, and people are going to probably sue the mess out of him. There's just no way this is going to happen.
Yeah. Well, Attorney General William Barr spoke about the decision in the Oval Office today.
These companies grew because they held themselves out as public forums, as free public forums where a variety of voices and diverse voices could come on and be heard. That's how they grew. That's how they attracted the eyeballs. That's why people joined them. But now that they have become these very powerful networks of eyeballs, now that they've grown by holding themselves out as free public forums, they've now switched. and they are using that market power to force particular viewpoints. And that's wrong. And it has to be addressed not only through this executive order, but I think litigation going forward and by further action on Capitol Hill.
And later in the show, we'll be giving you Nancy Pelosi's reaction to all of this as well. So stay tuned for that. Now, the 2020 Boston Marathon, which has been rescheduled for September 4th, has now been canceled officially, and it's going to be held now as a virtual event. That comes from Boston Mayor Marty Walsh. He said all participants who were originally registered for the April 20th, 2020 event will be offered a full refund of their entry fee associated with the race and will be able to participate in the virtual alternative to the 124th Boston Marathon, which can run anytime between September 7th and 14th. Now, the death of George Floyd is causing protests across the nation. Videos coming out of Minneapolis, the headquarters of Target, show a store being looted and emptied by protesters. So coming up, we're looking back at the LA riots and its connection to what's happening today. And we're going to be getting into our question of the day. Does looting help or hurt protesters' causes during a time like this? That's next.
And now you got a city riot going on. Because once again, the police have failed to protect us like they say they was going to do. Us as a community, we're not going to protect ourselves. But if we don't have anyone to protect us, then this is what you get. You get riots. You got people out here going crazy. We losing loved ones every day to the people that sworn in to protect us. It's not us. It's the police. This the madness that they spark up. This is what they encourage. This is what they provoke. This is what you get out of you taking some a loved one from someone. This is what you get. You get a lot of people that's hurt, and they can't vent the right way. They can't no longer depend on the police to be here to protect us like they say they're gonna do.
We are back, and of course, that was a clip from the protests happening right now in Minneapolis. And we asked you on social media, does looting help or hurt protesters' causes during a time like this? And let us know what you think at LGT Show on social media. Joining us right now, we have entrepreneur and community leader James Andrews, who actually was in LA during the LA riots and is also bringing together his community during this time to support one another. James, thanks for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
This is a hard time right now. And yeah. I know that you are doing a lot within your own life and your community to bring everyone together. First of all, how are you doing?
Well, you know, for me, in many ways, this is a bit of Groundhog Day on a macro and micro level. I mean, this sort of stuff is not brand new. So, I mean, it's you know, so I was really tuned out until about yesterday. So how am I doing is that I feel like, you know, in the middle of a pandemic, we have more illumination and illustration that abuse of power is alive and well. And this is not a black thing. This is an American issue. This is a human issue. So I think it's really important that we package this correctly. It's not what you can do for just my community, but it's what are we going to do by injustices of those in power today that happens to be police officer, tomorrow that could happen to be, you know, anybody else. I think the Minneapolis situation, which was preceded by the white woman in Central Park, is just another week of confirmation that, you know, whether it's power usage by the police or power usage by a white woman who was, you know, screaming for bloody help. I think they're both in many ways instances of abuse of power.
If you're just now joining us, we are chatting with community leader and entrepreneur James Andrews, someone who also lived through the LA riots, the Rodney King era in the early 90s. And I would love to go back to that. How does that compare to what's happening now? And what should we be taking from this?
What you should be taking is that motherfuckers are sick and tired. You know, I mean, I think that, I mean, you know, you can only take so much, you know, and
that part.
I'm not saying I'm condoning, you know, I didn't love it. So I was involved in the Rodney King riots. I was a UCLA student. I was in Westwood. I was there on Westwood Boulevard with the cops in riot gear. I was there at the Ralphs when the National Guard were called out, when you had to shop. and go buy your groceries around in and around the National Guard tanks.
Wow.
I remember it all too well. And I'm not saying I necessarily condone the rioting, but, you know, when you've tried to do this thing called voting, when you've tried to do this thing called, living your life and, you know, not causing any harm and going to school and going through the educational system that this country has set up for us, which continues to fail us. When you're kind of doing all the things that we're supposed to do, I'm not exactly sure what the next step is. And so for many, burning this motherfucker down just becomes the option. You know what I'm saying?
You know, and that's how I felt as well, James, you know, because I saw everything and I felt immediately the idea of like, I wish the looting wasn't happening. But then I had to rethink about my position here in just life and me talking to my mom being like, I am so afraid of you as a Black man living in this country, in this world. Mm-hmm. And I had to think about, you know what? How many times do we have to say, I can't breathe, enough is enough? How many, it feels like no one's listening.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's trying to get a free hoodie. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to make a point.
How do we get reparations?
Yes, reparations. And so I think people need to look at it from the lens of Dr. King had an approach and Malcolm X had an approach. And you just get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you get sick and tired of, you know, this grown large man was crying out for Obama. You know what I'm saying? Like, what else? I ain't got nothing else to say. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what else to do. And when our lives are devalued, when Dylan Roof, the guy who shot up the entire church, can kill 9 people in Charleston and walk and be arrested and taken for a burger on the way to being, you know, locked up, and we get a knee to the neck for 5 minutes till we die, it just shows that the value of life is not there. And what we want as humans, what we want is the same thing we want for, same thing I want for my community, I want for every community, just dignity, humanity, and respect. And yeah, when people don't get that, they're going to act out. So I think we're minimizing, we're focusing, we're majoring on the minor. I know it might not be minor to the shop owners whose stores are being looted or so forth, but the macro condition is what people should be looking at.
All right. Well, James Andrews, wow. This has been such an interesting conversation. So important. It's an honor to have you as a friend and someone that I get to have in my life. So thank you for being you and for doing your work.
Thank you. Every voice is needed right now and every voice is heard. And if you don't operate like that, you know.
Follow James on social media at Key Influencer right now. Thank you, James.
All right. Thank you so much, guys.
Now, coming up next, we asked you on social media, does looting help or hurt protesters' causes during a time like this? We'll be getting to your responses right after this. We are back as we continue a conversation about the tragic death of George Floyd and the protests that are happening around the country, and specifically these videos coming out of Minneapolis of looting that's happening, of buildings burning down. And we had a really powerful conversation with a friend of mine, James Andrews, who's also an entrepreneur and community leader who was in Los Angeles during the LA riots, and the comparisons now that are being made, it's just crazy.
Well, yeah, I think one, it's really telling that these comparisons are being made, because guess what? Time has, you know, passed by, but nothing has changed. And so that's unfortunate. And last night in real time, going through these things, seeing everything on Twitter and on social media, I felt just so disappointed. I felt heartbroken. Everything was very soul crushing, because people are really trying to use their voices. And just about 2 weeks ago, we saw non-people of color, you know, berating police officers, yelling, spitting, all because they just wanted a haircut. And then we fast forward to now, where people are trying to peacefully protest and you have the police officers in SWAT gear antagonizing these people. It turns into a nonviolent protest. It then turns into looting, because guess what? They're feeling their voices are not heard. And so there's so much there that I just didn't know in my own emotions, because I feel like we have to talk about these things. I have to live this life every single day. And a lot of times it's just like, I don't feel like I have the space to even feel right now, you know?
That makes sense. And we, even before the show, we were trying to figure out how we were going to tackle this subject today, because it is uncomfortable. It is traumatizing. It is triggering. And, you know, as a white person and an ally, I'm saying, and we've discussed this, like, what's my place? How can I better support communities and people of color during this time? And my best friends who I know are processing this themselves. And I was even debating, like, should I check in on Ryan? Like, what should I do? What's the best thing to do?
Yeah.
I was a big looking at social media. Yeah. And I was looking on social media and, like, looking at what other activists I know and what they're sharing. Elizabeth Cargill shared, dear white people, like, here's what you should be doing. And it's not just enough to maybe go to your friends, like, saying, I feel bad or I'm here for you. But, like, now is the time to speak up. And what does that mean?
Yeah, honestly, I think, you know, this lady Jennifer that's coming out of Minnesota, that viral clip of her in a wheelchair trying to stab people and stop looters in the Target, and people, you know, lashed out. They, you know, put that fire extinguisher on her. They were hitting her, and she was also being very violent. But here's a clip of her trying to seem like a victim, which really just destroyed everything. And honestly, she should have just minded her business.
The looters who were looting Target.
The looters who looted Target did this to you? You were peacefully protesting?
I was peacefully protesting. They attacked me from back and from front and back. They punched me in my mouth, my head. I got punched in the head several times. I got grabbed from behind. People grabbed my wheelchair. They stole my keys. They stole everything they could off of me.
And that, of course, was going viral and trending today on Twitter. At any rate, we wanted to know this, and it's something we've been debating. Does looting help or hurt protesters' causes during a time like this? And you know me, I am not into violence. I do not think it's the answer. Of course, I look at the greats like the MLK and the Malcolm X, and I say, like, is it possible to do it another way? And, like, where's a leader during this time? We even brought up, like, I brought up Obama, and you're like, well, Obama doesn't represent
everyone. And also, Malcolm X was not peaceful in the way that an MLK was. That's why there was two different situations between. There was a divide, because MLK did want more of a peaceful thing, but he also knew that he had to shake things up. And I feel that I don't even think we need that. I don't think we need a you know, someone that's going to be like this black Jesus or beacon of hope. You know, I feel like voices need to be heard, because President Obama did what he had to do when he was in office. He showed that we can get to this place, but that didn't mean racism was over. Nothing was over once he was, you know, in office or after office. Obviously, it seems like things have gotten worse because of Trump.
And you know what? It's funny. My thoughts have changed a bit since we talked about this earlier. And Ryan knows that I feel sometimes uncomfortable, because I don't feel very extreme in my points of view. I feel extreme in my points of view that this is wrong, and I want justice, and I want humanity. Right? That's my position. But as I've heard you and James talk about it, I realize that, like, everything has been done, and people have tried to do things peacefully. And, like, what else can be done to make a change? And it is this feeling right now of confusion, like hope, but a lack of hope. And it's like, where do we go from here?
Well, let's go to social media, because we did ask this. We wanted to get your perspective, y'all, because obviously we don't have a phone line, and so we're using social media to connect with you. We asked, does looting help or hurt protesters' causes at a time like this? 24% of y'all said help. 76% said hurt. And here's one of the responses. Hey, it's Anna said, I feel that it agitates the issues of protests. Yes, there are acts of peaceful protest, but when there's looting, it overshadows others' protests, and I feel that it creates a sense of it could happen again with law enforcement, and they're quicker to get violent when things go south.
And I think that, and many have said, like, if we looked at humans and the loss of life the same as we look at these stores being looted, and we care so much about these corporations and, like, being destroyed, like what would be possible if Target did step up right now and make an announcement, right? Saying like these officers should be arrested, justice should be served. What would happen? Would it make a difference? There's so many layers of this. We're not gonna find a solution right now, but we just wanted to share our thoughts as we continue to have these conversations on Let's Go There.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more of Let's Go There right after this. It seems like we humans can't help but leave traces of ourselves everywhere we go, and that includes in space. Here to tell us more about space junk and what that even means is Michael Wall, senior writer at space.com. Welcome back to the show, Michael.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, what is space junk?
Space junk is...
Sounds like a movie, by the way, with not space... What's the Space Jam?
Yeah. It kind of sounds like maybe an X-rated version of Space Jam.
Oh yeah,
but, I'm into that. But,
no, it is. It is just a bunch of junk up in space, stuff that we have launched and has died up there. You know, old satellites that have died and haven't come back to Earth. You know, pieces of rockets that launched other things up there and then stayed in Earth orbit. And there's lots of little tiny pieces of things from things that have smashed into each other and generated lots of shards of things. And all of it's zooming around Earth at like 17,000 miles per hour. If it's about the same.
Yeah, because it's like doing an orbit situation.
It's fast, yeah. And when you're at about 250 miles above Earth or so, you know, I mean, low Earth orbit where the International Space Station is, like stuff at that, yeah, up at that altitude goes 17,500 miles per hour. So even if it's a tiny little thing like a ball bearing or a screw or something like that, it can do huge damage if it hits them.
I mean, one, that sounds very dangerous, but I'm never going to be out in space, which is why I'm asking, why do I care about this? Because space is this huge, just infinite amount of space. And it's just like, how is this hurting? Is this even, should we even care about space?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have a huge impact now because it's still sort of like manageable. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's true. Space is probably infinite, but you know, I mean, Earth orbit's not infinite. It's a shell around Earth. And so we have a lot of satellites up there that do lots of stuff for us. You know, when you use GPS on your phone, you know, that's coming from satellites. And so it's worrisome when you think about if there gets to be enough space junk up there, then there's a real chance that some of these little shards, especially, and there are millions of them, could slam into like a GPS satellite or like a military spy satellite or something that's really important to lots of people, and it could like destroy it. And if one of those satellites gets destroyed and creates like 3,000 more new pieces of space junk, then those pieces could hit something else. And that's the main fear, is that if we don't do something about this growing problem in the future, then we will get to the situation where we have a collision and that generates huge numbers of small pieces of debris and they cause more collisions and it just kind of spirals out of control. And soon, and at some point it might be hard to actually launch things to space because there's too much crap up there and everything's getting smashed all the time.
Wow, Avenue Five.
This is so weird.
There's a show on HBO called Avenue Five, and it reminds me of that, where they were just like throwing, because people were dying on the ship, and they were just throwing the bodies, and the bodies started orbiting around the ship.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it was a thing. Yeah.
Wait, so what can we do about this? Is this what Trump's Space Force is for?
It could do something about this. I mean, Space Force is still kind of like nebulous. There are people already worried about this problem, right? And so there are people who have come up with ideas about, like, you could launch a satellite with a harpoon on it and it could go around and launch a harpoon into satellites and actually drag them down so that they don't smash into other things. No, you could drag them down lower where they'll burn up in Earth's atmosphere and kind of disappear in a blaze of glory. There are some other people who say we could do that with nets. Like we could launch these kind of garbage man satellites up there with nets and drag them down and to burn up in the atmosphere. But those are sort of like last gasp sort of. I mean, what we really need to do, people think, is plan for this with future launches. And so every satellite that launches should have some way to be deorbited safely, so it doesn't just stay up there after it dies. And that's especially a problem now that we need to start thinking about, because we're launching so many more things, because actually launching things is getting so much cheaper, and we have all these little satellites up there now, and it's a lot cheaper to launch them and to build satellites. We've got all these little things called CubeSats that can be like the size of a loaf of bread. They're so capable now because the electronics are so good. So we just want to make sure that we don't just start launching so many of these little things that we lose track of them and they just stay up there.
And what if people run into them? Like, I know they were trying to launch recently. What if they hit them? Like, can't that be damaged? Can't that be dangerous for future astronauts that are trying to get out there?
Yeah, that's a real concern. You know, we have people on the International Space Station, and there have been multiple times they actually had to fire up its sort of thrusters to move it out of the way so it didn't get hit by a piece of junk. So it is a problem. I mean, it'll be more of a problem if we start launching more and more people up there and have more space stations and there's more stuff going on. But even now, when we just have one space station up there, we do occasionally have to kind of move it out of the way so it doesn't get hit.
All right. Well, Elon Musk should have a solution, right? At least anyway. Well,
he is the alien here trying to return back to his planet. I believe those rumors.
He actually might be part of the problem. People are worried because he wants to launch this huge broadband constellation and put up like 30,000 satellites, maybe even like 40,000 internet satellites. So people are worried that these things might not come down fast enough and these things might cause more space junk problems. He says it's not a big deal because they'll all deorbit themselves after they die or when they're about to die. But there are some people who are kind of worried about his plans.
Does that create like Wi-Fi for everyone for free?
That's well, not free. It's not a very good business model for Elon, but it's cheap. It like should be cheap for everybody across the whole world. That's the, right. The dream. Yeah.
Well, Michael Wall, very fascinating stuff. Thank you so much for being with us again.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
I love nerds. Yeah, I really do. Y'all are amazing human beings. I really appreciate you.
Oh, Michael Wall is a senior writer at space.com. Now coming up, Los Angeles unveiled what school will be like for your kids when they return to classrooms. Could this be the new norm? That's next in 10 minutes. We are back. You're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on Channel Q.
I still can't believe we just had a conversation about space junk. I don't understand that because clearly we have more things to really be worrying about after Mark Zuckerberg had the audacity to say what he had to say.
Yes. I mean, I almost forgot about the space junk conversation. It's just so in my normal day-to-day to talk about that. Kidding, it's not. But I love that we get to have those conversations right here on the show. And yeah, you were just talking about Zuckerberg. Well, we're about to get into what's trending this hour and Nancy Pelosi dragging him and Trump. But I want to remind folks listening that coming up, we're going to be getting into how flawed our COVID-19 tests are and what you should do about that. That's coming up in 30 minutes with an infectious diseases expert, Dr. Michael Sag. But right now, let's get into what's trending this hour. Earlier, we talked about the executive order Trump signed targeting social media companies to defend free speech. And yeah, you mentioned Mark Zuckerberg. Well, he seems to be siding with Trump, saying that he doesn't think it's the platform's responsibility to do this and that they should not be fact-checking political speech. Well, Nancy Pelosi jumped in and spoke out about that today, dragging both Trump and Zuckerberg.
Now, so you see what Facebook Zuckerberg is saying today about all of this. They just panders. Tax cuts, no regulation. Our business model is to misrepresent the facts and to be a platform to do that and try to hide under freedom of speech, which is, of course, a complete violation of everything freedom of speech stands for. Freedom. And they knew during the 2016 elections that the Russians were engaged in foul play. They knew because they saw where the money was coming from. Never occurred to them to check on that. So again, what the president is doing is it's almost seeing people who have been in cahoots with each other. Is there no honor among thieves? That's really kind of what it comes down to. They've all exploited the truth. And some have made money off of it and some.
And you know, this is well deserved because Mark Zuckerberg is really showing his true colors here. He is showing that he is literally in the pocket of Donald Trump. He's in the pocket of Republicans. He's in the pocket of these politicians. And he'd rather people be thinking fake news versus actually having the truth out there. How sick do you have to be? I honestly will never support Facebook. I wasn't on there in the beginning, but never will I support a place where he's like actually okay with being vocal about lying to the American people. It's so wild.
He wants individuals to police themselves. You know what I mean? They want to take themselves out of that position because they'll make it more democratic or something. We should talk more about this subject because definitely it's something that is dividing the digital community right now.
How is I just don't understand that. How is it dividing the community when it's literally just based off of morals and ethics? It's like,
of course,
just tell the truth.
Exactly. It's because the way these things started is it was a platform for anyone to promote or not just promote, but post anything they want, right? And now as we get into not just the liability, but you know, the wrong things being posted and how that impacts communities at large and the news. And like, it has greater implications that I don't think Facebook realized that when Mark built it in his college dorm to be just a social network for college students. You know what I mean? Like, it's become much bigger than that. And now he's trying to figure out his responsibility in all of this. And to him, that means like taking himself away from any sort of responsibility. But let's move on with what's happening in LA County with schools. When they eventually reopen, students are going to be required to wear face masks at all times. That's according to a plan released this week. The 45-page framework released by the County Office of Education, they have severe restrictions aimed at shielding 2 million students countrywide from COVID-19. That includes mandatory face masks, a limit of 16 students per classroom, staggered schedules, and other measures. Also, listen to this. School lunches would be served in classrooms instead of cafeterias. So that's taken away. Like, mean girls would not be around if it were.
Well, I mean,
these things. You know what I mean? Like,
and that's the time where you talk with your friends.
Exactly.
It's gonna be so sad.
It's going to be really crazy. Hallways are going to be one way only. And each student is going to be assigned one ball to play with alone, which I thought that was kind of
that
funny
sounds like prison. So basically, I'm happy I'm out of school, so I don't have to deal with that crazy nonsense.
Right. All right. Well, coming up, these youngsters thought they could become Spider-Man. What they did that landed them in the hospital. That's coming up on our WTF News Roundup.
La 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 la. Elmo song. He wrote the music. He worked the words. That's Elmo's song.
Yeah. Elmo.
Yes, Lil Nas X.
I think we should try that again.
Okay, but this time, this is the song. La 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 la, Lil Nas X song.
La 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 la, la 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 la, Lil Nas X song. La la la, la la la, la la la. La la la, la la la. La la la.
La la la.
Well, that was a clip from the new show on HBO Max that just launched yesterday. It's called The Not Too Late Show with Elmo. And you heard Lil Nas X making an appearance and doing that really cute Elmo song. But we're not sure if it's cute or kind of like, what are we watching?
I felt like I took all the drugs in that little moment listening to this song. I don't know who this is for. What children are staying up watching a late night show? Is this for me? Should I be okay with Lil Nas X singing with a puppet in a puppet band? What in the shrooms? What in the shrooms?
It isn't a late night show. It's called Not Too Late, Ryan. For the kids, they can't stay up too late, so this is their late night show.
It's the same thing. I hate it so much.
I must say, though, it does feel like one of those shows, like, it's for the kids, but, you know, the adults can enjoy it, too, on a little bit of a fun time.
Yeah, where was this show at on 420? Read between the lines.
All right. That starts our WTF News Roundup today. Let's move into some other crazy stories happening around the world. A woman who showered Santa Rosa police officers in cars driving by on the Highway 101 with none other than glitter. That's my type of lady, was arrested after leading authorities on a car chase that reached 80 miles per hour. And then I love how she basically took someone's car and then ended up at this highway where she literally just like took out this thing out of the car and just like put glitter everywhere.
Yeah, sure. This feels like honestly feels like day 72 of quarantine for you. Are you sure this story is not about you?
She had a cordless blower motor packed with glitter. This is amazing.
What if she was just trying to make the world a better place? I actually stan her, and I feel like, you know, all heroes don't have to wear capes.
Exactly.
They can just have a glitter blower.
She should have gotten a warning, but instead they did arrest her. But really, we could use a lot more glitter right now. So I don't think what she did was that bad, although she did steal a car. But moving on. All right, this story is very interesting, and I got to give these little boys credit. Three young Bolivian brothers were hospitalized after getting a black widow spider to bite them. because they thought it would turn them into Spider-Man. So don't try this at home.
What?
But I kind of I love that these little boys did have a dream. They did have a dream.
No, I do not like this. Black Widow, like, what? Oh my God. Somebody get them kids some educational tools, because people are too bored in the middle of all of this happening in the world. That is so dangerous. Aren't Black Widows like super poisonous?
Yes, that's the thing. So please have conversations with your kids about superheroes. We like them to believe that superheroes are possible. They could be a superhero, but when it comes down to this, they might want to know that they can't be Spider-Man, okay?
Maybe the brothers. This is the side effect of them watching the Elmo show, not the Not Too Late show. Yeah, right. Because maybe your brain just melts.
La 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 la, la 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 la, Elmo song.
The brothers range from 8 to 12. They found the spider while herding goats. Remember, this happened in Bolivia. And thinking it would give them superhero powers, they actually prodded the spider with a stick until it bit each of them. In turn, then their mom, listen to this, their mom found them crying, brought them to a health center, transferred them to a hospital. They had fevers, tremors, muscle pains.
So they almost died.
Basically, thankfully, they're doing better now and releasing. They probably won't be doing this again. And, you know, it's the same moment that you realize that Santa Claus wasn't a real thing. Oh, hopefully no kids are listening. But these kids
did you just ruin Santa for me? First of all, what if I still believed in Santa? I love Christmas. You know, I'm a big Christmas advocate here. And so the fact that you just decided to say that on the national airwaves.
Yeah, welcome to reality, Ryan. Wow. Sorry to burst your bubble.
Wow.
Now, the post office keeps sending people mail from the past. And we actually reported about another story like this. Elliot Berenstein was surprised when Canada Post delivered a package to his home a few weeks ago, and it was 8 years late.
Ooh, a blast from the past.
He says, I was very confused because I hadn't ordered anything from well.ca in a while. And then I remembered one time about 8 years ago, I ordered something from them. Inside the package was one tube of Bryal cream hair product he ordered in 2012.
I wonder, did he get his money back from it? And so now he just got a free thing. Because, you know, once you don't get a package, you can get your money back.
Well, a person claiming to be from well.ca replied to his post expressing their apologies. He never received the shipment on time, but he deserves more. He should be getting like something for free.
This also reminds me, did you see those photos of Lady Gaga? She posted them yesterday of her in a big truck, and she captioned her post saying, I'm about to go deliver Chromatica to all of the retailers in the world. Well, fans were literally tweeting at FedEx saying, with a picture of Lady Gaga and her mask behind the driver's seat, saying, hey, this lady hit me with her truck. And FedEx was actually replying to them because they didn't realize that this was a fake story. They were like, please give us the time, the moment where this happened, and we'll look into
it. That is funny. We're all very gullible, you know, it's easy.
I can't tell if it was funny because you didn't laugh, but it's okay. It's okay. We win some and we lose some.
It wasn't like a laugh out loud funny for me, but it was funny.
I see. You laugh at glitter. I laugh at actual funny things.
Exactly. All right. That was our WTF News Roundup today. Now coming up, COVID-19 testing could be flawed. What that means for you, even if you have a negative result, that's coming up in 10 minutes. It turns out that COVID-19 tests are not always that reliable. Both the antibody and the active infections test for COVID-19 have had issues with accuracy. And joining us to discuss why and what we should all do about it is Dr. Michael Sag, who's a professor of medicine and director at the UAB Center for AIDS Research. Thanks for being here again.
Thanks for having me back.
Okay, so why are these tests not that accurate? I mean, then does it defeat the purpose of taking a test?
Yeah. Well, I think first thing we have to remember that this infection is brand new, and we're plowing into this as fast as we can. So to expect perfection at this point in the game is unrealistic. If you think back to HIV, we didn't even have a test until 1985. So that was 4 years after the syndrome was discovered. We're 3.5 months into this one. We got some decent tests, but let's talk about them real quick. There's two different general types. The one is a viral test, and that's the one that tells us if somebody with symptoms right now is infected, and it looks for the virus itself. It's usually a swab that goes in the nose or the back of the throat. The second type of test is an antibody test, and that looks for the immune response to the virus. And those two tests are very different in terms of their accuracy.
Do we need to move to regular repeated testing? Because it seems like the more we test, the more accurate results that we can get on a daily basis.
Right. So let's dive into each one real quickly. The viral test for someone with symptoms is really pretty accurate. If it tests positive, that almost certainly means that person is infected. So that's helpful. Sometimes a test is negative even when the person has the virus, and that gets a little confusing, but the doctors can work through that. So let's put that aside for a minute. The antibody test, I think, is where most of the confusion is happening. And the reason for that is that the coronavirus that's causing COVID is not alone. We've been exposed to other coronaviruses in our lifetime that cause, say, for example, the common cold. So we may be harboring or having an antibody in our bloodstream from a cold 2 years ago that could cross-react with the antibody test for COVID, giving a false positive test. So it makes you think, oh, I've had COVID and I was asymptomatic. Well, maybe not. So that degree of what we call specificity is what's key to the whole story.
We are again talking to Dr. Michael Sag about the accuracy of these COVID-19 tests. So with that said, I guess, what are people supposed to do, or should they just be changing the narrative? Like, because I think that a lot of people who are against everything that's happening and looking for a position to take against all of this, they're using that, right? To say, oh, there's no point of having tests, or it's not like tests are going to make a difference. Right? It's a way to go against, I would say, medical experts.
Yeah. I guess haters are going to hate, but the bottom line is let's put folks aside and just talk about what everyone should be thinking. If you've been exposed and if you think you might be infected, a viral test could be helpful. Some people can be in quarantine right now, and they might want to test to see if that exposure that they had led to a real infection. And you can do that 7 to 10 days out from an exposure, and that could be helpful. For antibody, a lot of people think that they are maybe had the infection back. I've heard people like in January, I had this horrible illness,
yeah,
and it went away. There's a lot of people like that. Well, the antibody test in that setting may help define whether that was an infection back in January. So those types of tests can't help us at that point.
But I always say, like, it's good to know for your just knowledge that you had it possibly, but that doesn't mean you're immune to it.
Ah, well, if you did have it and immunity works, which we don't know yet, then you probably would be immune to it. But we don't know that immunity works, right? Mm. I had it. I have antibodies. I have sky high antibodies. Does that mean I'm protected? We don't know yet.
If you're just now joining us, we are talking with Dr. Michael Sag. He is a professor of medicine and director at UAB Center for AIDS Research. Now, when it comes to anti-vaxxers, they are a part of the larger conversation of people who don't want to take vaccines if there is going to be one created. Does that worry you? Does that play a huge part in our new normal? What does that look like? What's your perspective?
It depends on how many of them there are. If it's 1% of our whole population who are anti-vax, it probably won't matter too much. I have trouble understanding why someone wouldn't want a vaccine that would protect them against a potentially fatal illness, and why someone would ever want to get smallpox. We don't have that anymore, but we got rid of it through vaccinations. Or why anybody would want to have the measles. It can be fatal too. So the take-home point is that we are in a situation where we're dealing with a pretty horrible disease that's infecting more and more people, and we're not controlling it very well through our behavior of complying with mask wearing and keeping social distance. So a vaccine would help us.
All right. Well, Michael Sag, Dr. Michael Sag, thanks again for being with us as usual.
Thanks again for having me back. Look forward to another time.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Dr. Michael is a professor of medicine and director at UAB Center for AIDS Research and an expert in infectious diseases. So he knows what he's talking about. Coming up and joining us in 10 minutes is the host of LGBTQ and A, Jeffrey Masters, who will be with Channel Q all Pride Month long. That's next. So this podcast, LGBTQ and A, has been featured everywhere, Ryan. I know you know it, right?
Oh, I love it. And I also, it doesn't help that I'm a little biased because I know who's about to come on right now.
Yes. And it was ranked number two on a list of the top podcasts to listen to by BuzzFeed. Joining us right now is Jeffrey Masters himself, who can catch all Pride Month long right here on Channel Q. This is huge. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the family.
And the fam.
It's me. Hi, y'all.
Hi, Jeffrey. Oh, my God. Jeffrey, I'm so excited, one, that you are now joining us for Pride Month. I am such a fan of the podcast, but we have to start off with, how are you doing during this whole quarantine?
Okay, do you want the long answer or the short answer?
No, girl, we only have 5 minutes. Come on, keep it short.
Okay, at the very beginning of the pandemic, when this world started to end, I was at a drag show. It was the last night at Pieces in New York City that they're open, and I broke my foot.
Oh my God.
So, correct, gasps all around. So, long story short, I used to live in LA. I had two ankle surgeries last year. So at the beginning of the pandemic, I flew to Los Angeles and I had another ankle surgery on my broken foot. And I've just been here recuperating in the sunshine, actually. So,
nice.
Yeah, the biggest gag of the pandemic for me is that I broke my foot, had surgery, and it's gone on so long that I'm going to walk out of this thing on 2 feet.
Oh, my gosh.
Literally. But that's amazing. You have that many ankle issues. What's going on?
Hey, well, because so one of them was for good reason. I did AIDS life cycle. Great.
Okay.
I raised $100,000 million for AIDS.
Yes, yes, yes.
We cured it. Okay, just kidding. That's horrible. the other one was for like a bad reason that I cannot even like identify. And the third one was for a drag show. Shout out to Jasmine and Rice LaBeija.
I mean, as long as it was happening in drag, but let's talk about how you're joining the family now, because what do you think about, you know, your pride this year? Everything's virtual now. How are we supposed to be celebrating? How are you celebrating?
I'm celebrating like I always do, with a glass of tequila ice. Casamigos if I'm feeling frisky.
Tequila.
A glass. I just want it iced, okay? I think that the best thing people can do for this virtual pride is to like put on some heels, do your hair, and turn on my podcast and walk around your house.
Yes, let's do it right now. I could use a bucket of tequila.
I mean, I don't have any pants on, so I'm basically halfway there.
How are you celebrating?
Well, we'll be here, of course, doing our show, and probably we're going to do like some live Zooms, and we're going to be at parties dropping in.
No, here's the thing. Pride for me is all about self-care, and my self-care is probably going to be staying in the bed. That's how I will be celebrating
Pride.
Oh,
that's nice.
I'm going to just decorate it all rainbow filled or put a cute rainbow Zoom background, but honey, we chilling.
A rainbow face mask, perhaps?
Yes, maybe.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
I'll be dragging him to parties, virtual parties. So, but how is it going to work, your podcast on Channel Q? So this will be airing weekly right here, right?
We're going to be doing weekly. Yeah, so it's long-form interviews with the most interesting queer people in the world. So like artists, actors, authors, politicians. Last year, we had Pete Buttigieg and Laverne Cox on.
Oh.
And then also more like unexpected people who like, I don't think you know their names, but you should know their names.
Yeah.
Like Anne Northrup, who is an amazing activist. She's in her 70s, and she was one of the women involved in ACT UP. And you know, when we talk about ACT UP, we only talk about men. Yeah, we only talk about men. We only talk about white men. And so like Anne Northrup was there all along. And like hearing her perspective, I think is just as valuable as hearing someone like the icon Laverne Cox.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I think it's important to show all types of voices, the ones that are known. And you're making people know others that they should know, right? Like the up and coming voices as well.
Well, are you feeling the pressure too of that, like of quarantine and trying to do your podcast? Do you think that, you know, the pressure is really on for queer media personalities to really produce some amazing Pride content for this month because of the pandemic?
Yes and no. Yes, I've never felt more pressure, but the no side of that is that like I've been doing this podcast for 4 years. We've done over 150 interviews.
Wow.
So like Pride is just a time when there's more eyes on me.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be doing these interviews during Pride and not during Pride. So it just kind of feels like a month where I'm more tired, but not doing anything new perhaps.
All right. Well, we're so excited to have you here. And I can't wait to listen to all your shows on Channel Q.
Okay, Jeffrey,
thanks, y'all.
Where can they follow you, honey?
Come find me on Twitter. I'm at Jeff Masters One. Come see what I look like at that same handle. And the podcast is LGBTQ and A with an ampersand. It's a play on words. It's clever. It's fun.
Just like you. Just you. Like you.
I love you so much.
All right, that's it. And coming up, Minx in Holland might be giving people coronavirus. What is going on? That's next on our What's Trending This Hour. We are back. You're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on Channel Q.
And yes.
Wow. Yeah, it's been a packed week. A lot of heavy stories, but I'm so excited because we are ending our week tomorrow with an amazing interview with former presidential candidate, entrepreneur, and now he's head of the coronavirus task force that Governor Newsom is doing. It's actually called the Jobs. Where is it? Oh my
God. Job Recovery. It's yes. A California Task Force and Job Recovery.
Exactly. It's a mouthful, but Tom Steyer is with us tomorrow and we are getting into it with him. We're going to be talking about what exactly is the plan here in California. And also we want to know his thoughts on how Trump's handling everything.
When we got confirmation that we're going to be able to talk to him, I have always been very critical of him and like his run through president when he was running for president. And I was thinking he's just another billionaire that feels like he can run the world. And it's interesting. I feel like I got a lot of my questions and concerns answered. But also he loves to jump around. He's a politician at heart. No shade.
Well, yeah, we did ask him the billionaire question of like, what are his thoughts on, you know, rich people continuing to make money during this time and what responsibility they have. And he was just like,
you got to tune in. You got to tune in to like, Shira's about to give. She was literally about to give it away. You got to tune in tomorrow. Watch it. Listen to it. Watch it. He's going to be on. It's crazy.
Exactly. All right. Let's get into some What's Trending This Hour, though. Governor Andrew Cuomo recruited a pair of Brooklyn stars today to promote coronavirus testing. You know, I'm surprised. You'd think the California would do this because we have a lot of talent, but New York is stepping it up. So they were wanting to promote social distancing, too, and the use of common sense precautions, including wearing a mask. And they got Rosie Perez and Chris Rock to join in. So Perez and Rock were both masked and gloved as they took to the podium. They took them off to speak, though, of course. They joined Cuomo at his press briefing at the Madison Square Boys and Girls Club in Flatbush to speak directly to their fellow New Yorkers.
I'm proud to be partnering with the governor to make sure that my hometown, my borough, my beloved borough, Brooklyn, and all of New York, most impacted communities have their resources they need to stop the spread of this virus and to help spread the word about what we all have to do to beat this virus. In Brooklyn, there's a saying, spread love the Brooklyn way. And I want to extend that to not just the outer boroughs, to the tri-state area, but to all of America and to all the world.
People need to get tested and people need to make it a festive occasion. They need to posse up and get tested. Like all the crew is getting tested. And the family should get tested. And, you know, if you love your grandmother, if you love your elderly mother, your elderly anybody, you should get tested.
Here's the thing. I feel like I think this was a good thing. But also, I'm just, who asked Chris Rock or Rosie Perez to show up? I thought that felt a little weird to me, especially
cute.
Who are they
cute.
Talking to? I don't know.
Why not get two local stars to join in on this? I mean,
but are they really going to be moved by these people? Like, seriously? And then also, what communities are you talking to? It felt like a roundabout way for them to kind of do like what the Trump administration did, where they had the Surgeon General on there to tell every black person and brown person for doing for your abuelas and your big mamas. It felt like there was the same energy here, but I'm not going to ruin it. It was cute. Chris Rock maybe shouldn't be wearing braids, but I loved Rosie Perez. She's cute. She's
wow, drag. All right. Now, according to a new study, even people with mild symptoms of the coronavirus develop antibodies, and that raises hope that survivors do get immunity. Researchers analyzed the blood of 160 medics who had a mild form of COVID-19 and had not needed hospital care, and they found that 99.4% of the group had antibodies to the virus 13 days after their symptoms, which signals that they have some form of protection against it. And the antibodies have the ability to neutralize or kill the virus in tests and appear to grow stronger in the weeks after infection. So that's good news, although it hasn't been fully confirmed. Now, Dutch authorities today announced a ban on the transport of mink after mink farm workers were believed to have contracted coronavirus from the small mammals. Listen, I'm happy that it took this to stop them from transporting mink, but I don't think you should be doing the mink thing, just saying. The infections in the south of the Netherlands could be the first known cases of animal-to-human transmission. That's according to the World Health Organization. And that was what's trending this hour, but we're moving into top stories in pop culture and entertainment news. So what's the tea, Ryan?
Coming up in the Tea Report, yo, we got to dive in because Star Wars star John Boyega is literally risking his job to speak out against racism. We're going to dive in on that and play the crazy clip up next. It's time for another Tea Report where we give you all those pop culture stories you probably missed out on. But guess what, honey? We got you covered. Now let's get started.
Yep, let's do it.
Okay, so Ruby Rose, y'all, you know we talked about how she just randomly decided to quit her job over at Batwoman, and she's finally breaking her silence on that shocking exit. Here is basically what she responded and said, but to be honest, it was almost as mysterious as her departure itself. Here's what she said. She said, "I didn't want to not acknowledge everyone involved and how big this was for TV and for our community. I have stayed silent because that's my choice for now, but no, I adore you all. I'm sure next season will be amazing also." And then she puts in like little asterisks, hangs up cowl and cape. So she's still not telling us anything. I don't know really what's going on, but I wish her the best. It's really sad if she is going through some mental health issues. You know, there's sources and rumors out, but whatever. I just hope that she's doing okay.
Exactly. That's a big job to quit. So, I mean, hopefully she did it for a good reason, which she probably did, and she's taking care of herself.
Now, let's move on into this juicy story right here. Star Wars star John Boyega, he took to Instagram Live yesterday to address everything happening in the news right now. You know, George Floyd, Minnesota, everything happening. And basically, he ended up fighting with fans after saying this.
"We're real. We speak truth. We're African, so stop taking a piss with my identity. I'm not here to play for your white flute. I'm here as a black man with a great opportunity that you lot know that I'm grateful for. But at the same time, I'm not here to be playing no games when it comes to that racial. I am for my people, and that's it."
Woo! I mean, I love this type of, you know, I think this is what leaders, you know, celebrities and people who have platforms should be doing. You know, he's never been one to back down. He's even defended his cast member, Kelly Marie Tran, after she was getting racist backlash for her character on Star Wars. Should other celebrities feel inspired by this year and step in this way?
Well, yeah, you would hope they're fighting for humanity and equality. I think that everyone will have their own way of dealing with this right now. And so I think there are certain examples of people doing amazing things and really showing us the way it's done. But unfortunately, I don't expect that from everyone, right? Because it is a very personal thing. But I think we need more voices like this, more voices showing that there is no tolerance for anything other than support right now of communities who are being impacted.
I mean, he's risked his job. He just put his job on the line to say, F racist, that you have no place here. And he
but
was
why
so
is that getting, putting your job on the line when you're, that's
because
ridiculous.
He is a black actor in Hollywood.
I know, people, but like, hopefully I want a change to happen so that if anything, you're applauded and you're given more work because of that.
Well, I think he will. Honestly, at the end of the day, he knows that the you know, his community will be around him to uplift him. It would be a dumb decision for anyone, Star Wars or any of the people that he's working with currently, to say they don't want to work with him. That would be stupid because guess what? You're losing a whole chunk of supporters at that moment because it's saying that's where you lie. But let's move on. I felt like that story was crazy. I'm so inspired by him. Now,
he's also looking very good. He's looking good.
Oh, he did look very delicious. But Shira, this is the last story of the Tea Report. You know, we talk here about some good news. John Krasinski's, you know.
Krasinski.
I can never pronounce his name. It's so intense. Well, either way, people are upset with him and they're calling him a sellout because he decided to sell his new web series that we've been talking about, Some Good News. And basically, it's taken over the internet. He sold it to Viacom CBS to air on CBS All Access. News came out where fans immediately called him a sellout, saying that he is profiting off a free feel-good YouTube show to make people feel good. Do you agree about this?
He was already in Hollywood. Why was he was like a random YouTube star that popped off? Like, the reason why you're watching is because you know him from The Office and that other movie. He was a big scary movie.
Yeah, so, but people are saying, why can't there just be something that exists that doesn't need to be a profit? The reason why they're saying that is because CBS All Access is behind a paywall. You have to subscribe to that to watch
it. Right, so that's the issue. If they were going to be still providing it for free, but someone paying for it, just continue it, because it is a lot of work and he's doing it out of his own pocket. Even though on YouTube with those views, he can make some good money. Mm-hmm. I just think that he might not be that person that wants to do it on his own. That grind is a grind. Yeah. And so if they were smart, they would have content that is available and then extra content that is behind the paywall. You know, find that balance.
No, for sure. I think he actually spoke out about it. If you want to check out what he had to say on an Instagram Live with his co-star, Rainn Wilson, they chatted on Instagram about this whole situation. Head over to our website, because the clip will be there, at wearechannelq.com, and keep us followed at LGT Show everywhere.
All right. Well, coming up, retired seniors are coming for our jobs, Ryan. Find out why next on our Yes Queen of the Day.
They can have it.
It's time for our Yes Queen of the Day.
Yes, Queen.
Okay, let's start with this one. This Yes Queen goes to Yankees stars Mike Ford and David Hill. And they're giving lessons to kids who are supposed to attend Rising Star Baseball Camp this summer. The kids' coach, Darren Gurney, said, in the absence of the boys' ability to play, it's so important to continue to foster their love of the game and to encourage them to stay fit. They're grateful for the opportunity to hear from top MLB talent. And so topics will include on this Zoom call of lessons, pitching and hitting insights, as well as how to stay motivated during the pandemic. So how cute is that? Imagine you had a little one who's all into baseball and they get to hear from MLB stars.
I know. I actually love that. I mean, I'm not a big sports fan. Everyone knows that about me. But I love this and how, I mean, we need, kids probably are missing out on summer camp right now. And so this is so cute.
It is. All right. Let's move on to a prom that was canceled for this 17-year-old. So the little boy she babysits came to her rescue. This is hilarious.
Okay, all right.
So Rachel Chapman was surprised with dinner and a dance, all thanks to 7-year-old Curtis Rogers. And with help from his mom, Curtis put the whole event together in his own backyard. That's chivalry. You see, this guy's going to be a good guy. Is that weird that I say this when he grows up? Because if it was the other way around, I'd be like...
I think, one, it seems like this little boy has some swag to him, right?
Yes.
I think maybe this little one had a little crush on, you know, who he was babysitting and really wanted to...
Who was babysitting him.
Yeah. Or, yeah, who he was... Why would I say he was babysitting a 17-year-old? Oh, my God, it's hilarious. No, but had a crush on her. And I think that's so cute to come up with this idea. Kids are so really... creative. I just want to be able to have someone of my age at this moment in life in real time to do something sweet like that for me. I'm not looking for anyone under the age of anything. Like, I need you to be my age or older.
Age appropriate. Yeah, age, I mean, same. So this is what he did. He dressed in a suit, picked out the menu based on food he and Rachel normally would enjoy together. This is so cute. That includes peanut butter and apples for an appetizer.
Oh!
Wait, listen. Chick-fil-A for the main course.
Yes!
And smoothies for desserts.
Oh, and then, my gosh.
And then they made a toast to Rachel at the beginning, and the two danced at a safe distance. How cute is that?
I am in love with this story. This is like such a yes queen to me. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Oh, my goodness. That's how you treat somebody.
And guess what, boys? You don't need to be 7 years old to do that. Okay, moving on.
Sure, well, again, any boy you're talking to on this station might not be into you.
That's okay. A girl can dream.
True.
Well, while many seniors have been forced to wait out the COVID-19 outbreaks in isolation, unfortunately, these retirees have managed to find connection on the radio. Okay, I love this story. Radio Recliner is an online pirate radio station that is hosted exclusively by elderly DJs from assisted living communities across the country.
Wait, somebody granny over there being a radio host like us and coming for our jobs?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Oh, I love it. I think they're way more qualified, honestly.
Probably. The project was launched by marketing firm Lucky back in April as a means of keeping lonely seniors entertained and optimistic during this time. And the company only planned for it to be these like 60-minute shows every day for 1 month. But since the station has gotten more attention and listeners, Radio Recliner has also attracted a team of 18 senior DJs who are continuing to record new segments.
Radio Recliner.
Pirate Radio, run by retirees.
It's a bright day in Franklin, Tennessee. This is Bob Coleman, better known as the Karaoke Cowboy.
And it brings back generally good memories. And most everybody likes to do that. And especially now that we've had this virus that's kept everybody confined, and you go stir crazy, and I think it's really great.
And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Well, you know, I love this story. Maybe this is what we'll be doing when we're old. We'll be just living together, having our own radio show.
Wow. I picture my life going somewhere else different, but you know what? I would accept that fate. I'm okay with it.
Who knows? And we'll continue to be arguing like we do today, but we'll be like old people arguing.
For sure.
Yeah. Producer Chan said we sounded like a bunch of married people arguing earlier. All right, that does it for our Yas Queen of the Day.
Yes, Queen.
And coming up, we've got our hashtag Made My Day moment, something hilarious that we found on social media that made our day, and we want to share it with you. That's next. As we wrap up the show, we are sharing our hashtag Made My Day moment, something that we found on social media that makes us laugh because we could use a laugh today.
And let me tell you, y'all, this one has me in tears. It is so funny.
Yeah, this is pretty much everyone's worst nightmare, at least the parents out there.
Or the kids, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's true. A mother of three from Jacksonville, Florida experienced, yes, every parent's nightmare. She accidentally crashed her daughter's Zoom meeting with her classmates while she was completely naked.
Guys, I watch all of these videos and people on the internet and I don't believe it. And then it just happened. I was in the shower, and then I got out of the shower, and I walked across my bedroom to get my clothes, and all of a sudden, I heard my 7-year-old from my bed go, "Hang on, Bella." And then Bella goes, "I think we need to hang up. We might all be in trouble." And I looked, and my 7-year-old was zooming her friends from my bed, and then naked. I don't know why she was in my bed, but what do I do? Do I like write an apology note to all the parents? Or do you just pretend like it didn't happen? Or call them all liars and that they didn't really? Oh my God, it is the best thing, Shira. When I tell you, this reminds me, and the reason why I was so tickled by this is because this also reminds me of like my mom, where she would literally just be like, just walking around naked sometimes. I'd be like, girl, what are you doing? Like, luckily there wasn't like webcams and all that stuff, and I didn't have to do Zoom calls, but I'd be like, girl, if you don't put some clothes on, you know, like, it's just hilarious that mom was like, what am I supposed to do at this point?
I mean, yeah, she's like, has our world come down to where like everything is at home, so there's no separation between like anything, and people have their phones, and she's like, can I not just be in my own bedroom naked?
No, but I loved that she she said well, what am I supposed to do? Am I just supposed to say they're liars, that it never happened?
Oh yeah, it's like, what do you do? That's like the thing. What do you do after that? Do you just go to the parents and apologize? Will it ever get brought up?
Oh my God.
It's a bit of a conundrum. And she's just, she is crying, laughing. So
it's just needed. After today and the tough topics that we've talked about today, that was such a wonderful moment.
So Ashley, thank you for making our day today. Really, we need more moments like this out there. Well, hopefully not more embarrassing naked moments with your kids, but you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Now coming up on tomorrow's show, we have got former presidential candidate, and now he's the head of the California Task Force on Business and Job Recovery. Tom Steyer is joining us.
Oh my gosh, y'all. We're really knocking it off of our bucket list, right? We talked to an astronaut. We talked to some of our favorite celebs, and now we're talking to a former presidential candidate. What's going on? It's crazy. And it was a good interview. I got to tell you that.
Yeah, it was a really great conversation. Obviously, there's a lot of timely stuff happening right now. And we definitely got his take because, you know, that's what we do here on Let's Go There. You can tune in to our show tomorrow to listen to that interview and so much more. 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific. That's 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern right here on Channel Q. And we post everything as a podcast. Are you following our podcast? Why don't you do that right now? If you aren't, just go to the radio.com app. Search Let's Go There and subscribe so you're notified when new episodes are uploaded.
Yes, and you know, if you use Apple Podcasts too, leave us a rating. Give us a few stars. You know, the 5 stars, nothing more. Leave us some comments. Do all the good stuff.
Now we'll give you a shout out, just saying. And actually, we've got some people on Twitter that have been hitting us up, and we totally forgot to reply to them.
She was going to do that. She sure loves to put me on the spot, but guess what? I have it ready.
Get those quick fingers.
I know who she is. We actually mentioned her earlier in the show. Her name is, hey, it's Anna. She was always hitting us up in the DMs, had no clue, but thank you so much for being a part of our show, giving us the commentary, because girl, she had a lot to say about that woman that was masturbating in IKEA. It's disgusting. So thank you so much for always, you know, our listeners love to be involved in our convo.
Yeah, so you can slide into our DMs at LGT Show anytime. We'll see you there. Now we are sending you love and light.
And honey, remember to slay.
See you tomorrow. Have a great night.
Bye, y'all.